Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to part 7 of our reading, Safarnama al-Rihla, this year from Ilya Troyanov's book, Mumbai to Makkah. In this reading today, he talks about his final tawaf and his experiences in Madinatul Munawwara. He writes, "As I was going to depart the next day for Medina, I spent this, my last day in Makkah, from early morning to the late evening in the Great Mosque. I was free of all obligations and could indulge in its beauty like an art connoisseur. Every square meter of the mosque was full of ornamental detail, calligraphy, stucco, friezes, abstract patterns. It was as if the embellished walls and ceilings accompanied the pilgrims in their recitation of the Quran. However, symmetry begins in oneself, in one's own movements and dealings. At the end of the tawaf, I prayed, lost and consumed by the ornament of the jama'ah. But a little later, leaning against one of the pillars, I began to distance myself once more. My gaze drank in the kiswa one last time, the circling of the pilgrims, the glimmer of the lights, intent on providing my memory with food for sustenance. I felt a great reluctance to leave. The Grand Mosque was an overwhelming place with which I had developed my own personal relationship. It had become home to me in prayer, in thought, and above all, in imagination." We now move on to a reading where he is in Madinatul Munawwara, feeling very, very deflated after a long journey via bus, and also feeling a little bit lonely. He writes, "The next day, I felt lonely, washed out, and depleted. After noon prayers, I read from the Quran for a little while and then fell asleep in the almost empty and remarkably chilly Grand Mosque, because ice cold water circulated underground. I was awakened to find my body bathed in light. The golden dome glided almost silently to the side, creating a quadratic atrium, and I was lying in the middle of it. The afternoon sunbeams beat down on me from a cloudless sky. Over supper, sitting with my shawarma on the steps that led from the Grand Mosque to the bazaar, I was addressed by two men whose accent was unmistakably British. 'Mate, you know the football scores?' 'What results? What scores?' I answered with great presence of mind. 'Oh, we thought you was one of us. You know, our team had an important game yesterday.' I explained I came from India and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about, let alone football. But if they wanted to discuss cricket, I was more than willing. The pair looked puzzled. They were from Bradford and very passionate about the team I had never heard of. They asked where I was really from. I repeated that I was Indian, and they were so fascinated by this fact that a few minutes later, also carrying their fast food, they returned to join me and bombarded me with questions. I reported on life in Mumbai and they shook their heads. 'You can't be Indian.' 'Why?' I asked. 'You're too pale. And are you obsessed with skin color?' I said to the older one. He laughed. He conceded to this but wanted to know about my family's origins. They, like me, were ready to leave Medina, were carrying plastic bags, the last of their shopping. The experience of the Hajj was similar to mine. The Kaaba had been overwhelming, Mount Arafah intense, and the everyday reality sobering. They did, however, find the behavior of many Muslims outrageous. The mobile phones, the pushing, the rudeness. We spoke about life in Britain. Their outlook differed from ours. I could imagine them in a stadium as loud as any other fan, minus the cursing and boozing. And although there was plenty they didn't like, the nudity on display, racism, alcoholism, they expressed their appreciation of the civil society there and the sense of community that still prevailed. 'It might sound paradoxical,' the older one said, 'but some of the Islamic ideals are more of a reality in Britain.'" I'm reading from Ilya Troyanov's memoir, Mumbai to Makkah. Join us for the final part tomorrow, inshallah.